Oh, welcome back to the Soul Savage Show right here on the Buzz every Friday night on the Buzz. As a matter of fact, on the Buzz, you can just enjoy yourself. We have a variety of programming. We'll let Q-Lynn mention that to you a little bit later on. She'll fill you in on the lineup, but what a great, great show. Hey, great interview, guys, with Mr. Isaac Taylor from Unsung. That was a fascinating interview. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yes. Producer, filmmaker, all that. It was great. Yes, all that. He was dropping some gems in there. I definitely enjoyed that. To people just tuning in, we just interviewed, like Will said, producer of Unsung and Unsung Hollywood at the top of the hour. It was a pretty great interview. If you missed it, you missed out on a treat, but if you're listening on the audio on the website, you should already be clicking on it anyway. So it was a great interview. Played the What's Wrong With You game. We already starting off to a good year. 2018 is looking up in terms of the What's Wrong With You game. Coming off the bat, the first one, Team Patty.
No.
Yes. All day, every day. That's what it's about.
The first show,
2018, aced it. I don't care what you said, he aced it all the way through.
No.
Thank you, Isaac, for knowing about good music and picking the right team, because that's what you're supposed to do, is say Miss Patty all day, every day.
Well, but you know, just like the election, just like the election, that What's Wrong With You game is rigged anyway.
No, it's not. It's actually, I don't know why you keep saying that, because you won the game. Before.
Oh, that's right. I did.
We should make EB throw a list at you and let him ask you if you win by yourself.
Oh, that would be fun.
Right. But yeah, he just played Men at Large. The music theme of tonight is picking songs that sound similar. Now, that was because I lost the bet. He told me earlier that he listens to the show, so he told me that ain't gonna work and that I gotta play Fazachi on the floor because he knows I hated that I said out loud that I hate that song because he's making me, that's a part of the bet that I have to play Fazachi on the floor. I'm not playing it this show, but I still have to play it. I'm probably gonna play it before the show starts. So even if y'all listen in on the app, when I get the audio of it, I'm editing it out immediately. I just want him to know that if he's listening in, I'm gonna edit it out anyway on the show. So. It don't matter. So, yeah, we playing songs that sound similar. That song, this is probably the only two songs I will say I think he stole this one. I don't think the ones that EB picked, I think that's still ongoing, the Childish Gambino and Bootsy Collins one, because that is definitely similar, but it's a little different. This one, all the way. The chords did not change at all to me, because I play, and it's the same chord arrangement. They just add a little, yeah. But yeah, shout out to Bruno Mars for stealing, being a thief at the Grammys, like taking things that don't belong to him. Shout out to him for that. I'm still a little upset about it, but I ain't gonna get worked up about it. But yeah, whatever, dude. You won. Who cares? He's supposed to be going on tour. I said he's going on tour so he can, y'all basically, giving him money for his Coke budget. That's what y'all doing when he's doing the second tour that's coming up, y'all put money into his Coke budget. I'm just say that and move on. But what we're gonna do right here, if Will's ready, we're gonna get to Will's segment. It's called 6 minutes of the Savage Report, aka 6 minutes of rage with Will. And get that Slick Rick cracking off. Get your music ready. Are you ready, Will?
I am ready. I am ready. Hey,
you ready?
That's
if
right.
You can talk about anything. 6 minutes of, I know the Orange Aiden Chief has some kind of State of the Union. I wasn't watching that crap, so.
No.
You can inform the people on that. I didn't watch no part of it.
Well.
I just saw excerpts from other analysts that were talking about it on MSNBC and other shows, but I wasn't watching that.
You
can include the people in on it. Go ahead, Will.
Absolutely. A few days ago, there was a State of the Union address. You know, and as a matter of fact, hey, thank you so much, Q-Lynn. This is the 6 minutes of rage on the Soul Savage show. And Q-Lynn has given me the opportunity to give you 6 minutes of rage and what I have been raging about and upset about over the last year, as a matter of fact. And this is our president of the United States. Now, there was a State of the Union address. I think I tuned in for about 45 seconds and I went to watch basketball, because I know exactly what the State of the Union is, and I didn't want to hear 90 minutes of crap, because, you know, what he's going to say off that teleprompter is a whole lot different than what he does. And let's talk about, let's get right into it. Oh, the Trump memo. I'm going to just give you a line of some of the top stories that's going on around the nation that's affecting us in the United States and in the world today. The Trump memo. Oh, boy, we'll get into that in a second, because that's going to be the topic of this rage hour here. That memo that was released today. Now, if you haven't been paying attention, folks, you really need to pay attention. I know you have other things to do. I know you have jobs, you have kids, you have obligations and things of this nature, but you have to understand what's going on in your surroundings, because what this guy is doing is affecting everybody. There was a memo released today, and we'll get into that. Children in Baltimore, did you know that some children in a Baltimore school are freezing to death because the school doesn't even have heat? And they have to have a fundraiser to bring some portable heaters into a public school? Okay, we'll get into that. And what I'm raged about is this cat wants to put up a border wall, but we got kids in Baltimore that are freezing in a public school. And many of our schools around the country, the pipes are deteriorating, the building is deteriorating, the kids are without books and things of this nature, and he wants to put up a wall. You should be raged about that. Oh, sex allegations. Oh, boy. Not only in Hollywood and in the corporate world, but right there in the White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, folks. Oh, yeah. If you don't know about it, yep. His lawyer, you know who I'm talking about, DT, Donald Trump, Mr. Teflon Don, his lawyer paid a prostitute $130,000, and somebody says nothing happened, huh? He set up a dummy corporation to pay $130,000 and nobody knows anything. Could that be why Melania Trump didn't go overseas with him this week? Oh, she mysteriously went to some museum and then flew down to Mar-a-Lago and hung out in Florida while he was across the seas. That was quite interesting. She was originally supposed to go on that trip. Russia, sanctions. Okay, the United States coming down hard on Russia. Guess what? For some reason, the Teflon Don has found a way to ease those sanctions, which was signed into law back there in August of this year. I think the vote on the House on the floor was something like 93-3 or something like that, 93% or 93-4 and 3 against or something of that nature. But anyway, no matter what the numbers are, it's pretty close to that. Please check it out. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Then there's a cast of characters. Please write this down. You might want to look it up. There's a weasel called the Speaker of the House called Paul Ryan. He was in on this memo deal also. Then we've also got my favorite Martian, Mr. Jeff Sessions, who recused himself from the Russia probe. And now his buddy, his deputy is under fire, Rob Rosenstein. Let's get back to this memo. This is the topic of the conversation today. In case you don't know, there is a memo that was released by the Republican Party, and the whole idea of this was to cast a doubt on the DOJ, the Department of Justice, and the FBI. And the president had a chance to rebuke that and say, no, we're not going to release that because the CIA, the Justice Department, and all legal analysts said, do not do this. This could be damaging to our country. Guess what? He released it anyway. You have to understand, why would somebody do that, do something that's going to be so damaging to your country? It could destroy our democracy. It could lead to a whole lot of things. Well, guess what, folks? He's trying to put some smear on the Russian investigation. If you notice, it's all it's distraction after distraction after distraction. Because guess what? This cat would throw the whole nation under the train. Forget the bus. I'm talking about a moving train to save his own hide. Now, also, he's coming after his FBI director, Mr. Christopher Wray. He appointed this guy back in August, and now all of a sudden he's upset with this guy and he is trying to discredit him. All right. But also he's trying to discredit the deputy attorney general who works for my favorite Martian, Jeff Sessions. Now, why is this important? Because The only way he can get rid of the special prosecutor, Robert Mueller, is to fire Rob Rosenstein, because Rob Rosenstein is the only one that can fire the special prosecutor. Guess what? Rosenstein said he sees no reason why to fire this man. There is so much going on in this country, folks, and you need to pay attention. From this phony tax plan that was passed, that is designed to benefit the top one half of 1%. That means the wealthiest of the wealthiest. They will do that. Hey, guess what? He dropped you a few crumbs, didn't he? You're supposed to have a little paycheck now, increase of maybe a couple of $100 a week now in your paycheck, and you're supposed to be satisfied. But guess what? That's only temporary. That's only going to last for 10 years. But guess what? The corporate tax rate will last forever. Hey, that's my 6 minutes of rage, folks. I wish I could go on. Thank you so much, Q-Lin, for allowing me to air my segment. But you can tell me I am steaming over here, and I am rage.
Raged over. I don't think he should be, because he's just an idiot. Like,
well, it goes beyond that. He's an idiot.
I don't know why people, like, I heard somebody say that he was, like, presidential. I'm like, see, y'all keep saying the same stuff, and then when he come out saying Putin is talking about having some kind of relationship with Putin and saying that, calling y'all fake news. He'll go right back to
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely.
You know, why y'all get hyped up about it?
Well, you know, I'm getting hyped up about it. You know, I tell you why. I have children. I tell you what. And everything that he does right now is affecting us, and people really need to pay attention.
It is.
Pay attention. And I tell you what, one way we can pay attention is that if we get our butts off of those couches and off of those love seats and go out and vote, we need to vote. Vote. And
he said a love seat.
Yeah.
Like what you said in there when you said you called him. What did you call him? You said Teflon Don.
Teflon Don. Teflon Don. But you know, EB.
I like that.
You're in New York. You remember there was one Teflon Don that went down, right? He's in prison. Is he dead yet? Oh God, you know who I'm talking about. A mob leader, mafioso in New York City.
Yep.
Oh, I don't know if he's still alive.
Okay, what's his real name? But they called him the Teflon Don. He was the king head of the mafia there, and he finally went down. But see, what happens is there's so much going on, Q-Lin, because see, this guy still hasn't showed anybody his taxes. He claims that he had no business dealings in Russia, but his knucklehead son, oh boy, what a clown he is. He came out a couple of years ago and said, oh, we've got most of our money comes in from Russia. We got tons of money in Russia, and there is documented evidence.
What was the name of that? What was that cartoon with that beaver and that girl? What was the name of that cartoon with had a beaver in it? That's what his sons look like.
Oh my God.
His sons look like a beaver. I can't think of the name of that character, but.
Oh my!
Goofy as hell, and they look just like they.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about. And these guys really aren't that bright. EB, these guys really aren't that bright. If you think about it,
they're stupid.
Not at all.
They're dumb as hell. But yeah, that was a 6 minutes savvy report with Will. I think I gave him 9 minutes because I didn't hear that music playing. You need to get
together,
sir. I was just about to hit you. You finished just on time because I was about to hit you with that Hood Jeopardy music because I ain't got the music. I was about to start playing the music if you didn't wrap that up. And then I felt like I couldn't remember when you started. I'm going to let him go for one more minute because I feel like he went 9.
Well, I don't know how many minutes that went.
That's why you got to play your 6 minutes with Slick Rick, a.k.a. with Wool Boogie, so I can know when to stop because I know it was 9 minutes.
Okay.
That's all right.
And you know what? I tried to shorten as much as I had because I had more, boy. I'm telling you, I'm upset.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really upset.
Yeah, I wanted you to talk about that State of the Union because I was going to mention it, Raggy people, and I'm like, no, that's Will's segment. He could talk about that.
Yeah, well, like I said, I saw a little bit of it, but it really wasn't worth anything because what did he do?
He just read from a teleprompter. Like, of course, he can't read on top of that. I'm like,
right.
He's reading like... I know a third grader to read better than him.
Right. And then check this out.
Right now, we'll
let me just say this real quick.
Just real quick.
And see, the thing about it is his speeches are all alike. It's all about him and what he has done. And it's the greatest in history.
Lying about black unemployment.
Black unemployment.
That was a continuation under another administration. Stop it.
Oh God, we can go on and on. I mean, he's told over 2,000 lies here in 366 days. Come on.
It's probably more than that. He lied, but yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for talking about that, because I didn't want to talk about Iraq and people news, because he can take up a whole section of that. So,
oh God,
so I'm
telling
glad you got your segment, so we can get all that out the way.
All right. Now, do you want to go? You want to go to the to the song? You want to go? You want to go to the song, Bootsy Collins?
Ooh, let me caught me off guard with that. What else we got? I was sitting over eating them all, because I'm sitting over eating these, I got these organic gummy bears. These mugs is good as a mug. I'm sitting there chewing on like they ain't nothing.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
No, we can wait, because we can do the savvy and, the news.
This is live radio, folks.
And then go to break.
This is live. This is live radio.
Oh no, because I was sitting over here about to open this bag of these gummy bears. And I was like, oh shoot, I wasn't ready.
He said, Bootsy Collins. He said, ooh.
Yeah. Well, she sent me the song.
No, I was saying, ooh, because of these gummy bears. It wasn't because of these gummy bears I was eating. I was like, ooh, these are
because of Bootsy, baby.
Right. I thought it was the song, too.
Oh, no. It was because I was eating these gummy bears. Sorry for all this smacking out here. I'm being girls.
I should have gone to the song.
I'm a gummy bear. But no, we ain't got to go to break yet. Well, we're going to get to you. We're
all right.
People on the Avenue. As soon as I get to you. This gummy bear out my teeth.
Oh, my God.
My bad. Oh, yeah. We got to do the savvy update. I forgot already. Sitting over here eating.
Oh, God.
I just opened these when you start talking. I was like, man, these are good as hell.
Oh, my goodness.
But that's all right.
This is live radio.
I got my snacks. I had
Soul Savviness.
Listen, I was prepared. So I was like, I got my snacks here.
2018.
I got all kinds of snacks over here, and I got my... Some organic apple juice that I'm drinking from my cup. And
yeah.
I'm sitting over here.
What's in that organic apple juice?
Listen, I've been eating good. I'm trying to get up, trying to keep from going to the hospital. So I'm eating good.
I heard that.
Trying to get my back right. So they got me on this plant-based. That's a savvy update right there. I've been eating good since the beginning of the year. They told me to do this plant-based lifestyle. They said that has something to do with, like, back pain and stuff like that. And some other, like, dairy. It's mostly just cutting out dairy products, because I was already eating plant-based stuff anyway.
Yeah, you ought to check out...
I eat is chicken and seafood. That's it.
Hey, check out Ann Taylor tomorrow at 11 o'clock, the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministry.
Yeah, I need to ask her, what's it called? Meat. Was it grass-fed meat? Is that still considered plant-based?
I would guess so. Grass is a plant, right?
No, I'm asking: is grass-fed like grass? Like, if I get chicken and it says grass-fed on it, is that still considered plant-based? Like, seriously, because I have a Whole Foods that sell it. I was wanting to get it because I just want it because I like eating protein, like. Like, I'll eat that for breakfast, like chicken, like some grilled chicken or whatever in the morning.
I don't know.
A place for eggs, because I used to eat. But, yeah, I need to ask her that.
I don't know. I didn't know chickens eat grass. I had no idea.
No, grass-fed, like, animals that were fed, like grass-fed animal food.
Yeah,
like,
but you said a chicken. I just never seen a chicken eat grass. I don't, you know.
No, I mean, what the hell? That vegan meat. Is that like grass fed?
I would imagine. They eating something green. That's
like a lamb and stuff. I know I sound dumb saying chicken. I don't know. I was just thinking of an animal on top of my head. I don't know.
But, yeah, call Ann tomorrow or tune in tomorrow night at 11 o'clock your time. She's in Arkansas. She's out of Arkansas. So it broadcasts at 11 o'clock your time. The Eating as an Act of Worship Ministry show.
Yeah, Eating as an Act of Worship. I ain't even doing no drinking as an act of worship.
I told you that drinking as an act of worship is not a ministry.
It is a ministry, but it ain't now. It ain't one for me now, because it caused all these medical problems for me, so I can't do none of that. I ain't done none of that, so. I ain't even trying to be funny. I was trying to be funny, y'all, a little bit of my life stuff. That's why I gotta quit sharing stuff with y'all.
Y'all
laughing.
I'm asking
a serious question. Y'all
oh, that's funny. Drinking is an act of worship.
No, boy,
that's funny stuff.
What, Evie, what'd you say? You just been working? Were you getting to the festivities, man. Grammy festivities over that weekend in New York? Did you do any of that stuff?
I did not. The one thing that I was supposed to do, PJ Morton had his live.
Oh, yeah. That one was lit.
And I wanted to go so bad. I RSVP'd maybe 2 minutes after they posted it on Twitter and then got the email that I didn't get in. None of my friends got in. So it wasn't even like if I didn't get in, somebody I could have went with somebody else. No. The only other thing that I would have wanted to go to, Dave Chappelle, he had a revival. I guess he does that every year.
Oh, yep.
And I was just looking at, you know, the star power that he had there and the lineup, and everybody was, like, everybody who was there was talking about how good it was, but tickets were kind of expensive, and, you know, rent is due, so I was like, no, can't do that either.
And I was saying, we spit my drink out. That's funny.
I'm just doing I'm being real.
Right. Yeah. What else you been doing? You just been working and that's it? I've been working.
I do have some new posts up on the website, people.
I forgot to talk about that. We were going to talk about Savvy News, EB for Press. Yeah. I guess we can talk about it now. You had did the Nita Baker one, and then I think I saw the Rick James one. I didn't get to, it was another post, your Jet Jams.
I did a post up. I have a Jet Jam post up from 1993. I have a Rick James playlist. It's 50 songs, I believe. Anita Baker playlist for her birthday. And then I also have two 1980s Quiet Storm playlists up there. So check those out.
And where do I see that?
EB for Press for the Sucker Free.
Hey, EB, where did I find that?
What'd you say?
You said, did you post that?
Oh, yeah, those are on the website.
www.ebforpress.com.
Oh, well, shucks. Okay, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You said you've been working and all that stuff. That's what's up. Getting that check.
It. Grinding. It's crazy. Like when I moved to New York, you know, people move to New York to live life and experience it. And I feel like I've been doing that. But what they don't tell you is you have to work a lot to be able to maintain in New York. So it's like I'm always at work.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Work is like my second home now.
Wow.
I know that life for real. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what I did. I ain't did nothing, y'all, but laid up. I haven't been doing no gigs because I'm kind of impaired right now. And so I can't get around like I used to some months ago. And so I've been laid up in bed. I'm bored, man. This is my first time out the house since Sunday, I think. I've been bored. I've been catching up on these shows and stuff. But, yeah, I'm tired of sitting up in the house. I want this doctor to get his life together. And hurry up and get tell me what's wrong with me so I quit laying up in the bed all day. Yeah, man. Listen, I can't tell you how old I felt until I went to the store and I almost lost my balance because I didn't have the cane, and so I was walking without it. And this woman, this is like the week, this is before I got it, and I was at the store, and this girl was like, I had my headphones in, and I was listening to Led Zeppelin or something. And I was looking for some kind of kettle cook chip, and it was all the way at the bottom, and I almost failed trying to get it. And then I was getting it, and then this woman like was in my face when I turned around, and she was just looking at me crazy. And then I turned my music down. I just took one of my headphones out, and I was like, "What?" And she was like, "I'm about to fight you." And I was like, "What?" I'm like, "What the hell?" And she was just like, "I can't find that other bag of chip like that." And I was like, it's another one, like, it was like one, like, right behind the chip. And I was like, it's one, like, right there. And then I bent down to get it. And she's like, she's like, oh, thank God, girl. I done went to two different counties trying to look for this chip. And then she was just like, I was like, what the hell is wrong with this woman? Like, I don't like people all in my personal space. She was just like, right here in my face. I was like, whoa, I didn't know this lady's about to hit me in my face or what, but it was strange. I was like, whoa. But she said, that's the first thing she said to me when I took my headphones out, that she was about to fight me over some chips. I was like, Is that serious? I'm like, this stuff don't never happen to me. Unless, you know, I got something.
It sounds a little strange.
You always have the most interesting interaction with strangers. Like, people really be trying you. They be trying you.
They just, like, invade my personal, like, she was all in my face. And then when I was trying to walk away, she was trying to tell me her life story and tell me how long it took her to get these chips and how long it took her to travel to the store. And every time I tried to move away from her, she kept stepping in front of me. I was like, what the hell is going on? This lady about to hit me.
She had another motive.
She didn't look like crazy, but when I looked at her, I was like, oh, she got that little, her eyes is like light. I was like, she like had this like Black Lives Matter afro, and I was like, she would look crazy until I looked at her eyes. I was like, oh, she looked a little off. I'm like, I don't know if she's influenced by pills, but she looked a little, she acted a little strange. And I was like, man, you need to move away from me because you acting, this is too weird. I'm like, she kept getting in my personal space. I'm like, why you got to talk to me all in my face? Like, can you move? And then I think she saw the bandage on my arm. That's when I had these bandages on my forearm. I was like, see, that's why I be wearing these thermals and stuff, because people be trying me. Because she was trying to make, she was trying to help me up. I was like, I don't even know, get the hell off me. And then it was like, oh, that's what it was. She talked to me because she thinks I'm weak. I'm like, that's why I stopped going to the store. I had somebody go to the store for me, because I feel like she's undoing that because she thought she was trying. But that's just stuff I be thinking about. I'm always on alert about people that be acting weird. It's weird people out here, y'all. I got to check them.
A ton.
They're going to do something. But, yeah. Oh, something else I was thinking about. What else was I doing? Oh, yeah, I released, finally, my video project I've been working on for, like, years. Finally released it. Man, thank y'all so much for the response from that video, because it took a long time for me to produce that. And when I put it out there, I just put it out there, I think, that night. And then I'm adding on to it now. So I'm actually turning it into a docuseries. So y'all be on the lookout for the Savvy Jam docuseries, a video project. The first introduction video is basically, I'm going to take you to the process of creating a band. And the stuff I got going on is going to be real cool. I'm going to try to tie it in with the show. It's going to be real cool. I can't wait to announce that. But, yeah, we're getting ready to take this on the road. So we're going to be traveling, trying to get sponsorship and all that stuff involved with it. But, yeah, the response from it has been great. Thank y'all so much for checking it out. You on the website and look at the first video. I think the second video we're about to come out with, the song we're about to play when we go to break is, was it Bootsy Collins? We did the Childish Gambino Redbone and the Bootsy Collins I'd Rather Be With You arrangement. I produced that whole thing, so I can't wait for y'all to look at it. But yeah, thank you to, it was the Sound Walker Studio helped produce that with me. They helped the whole team. We just went back and forth with ideas. And when we got there, it's just basically, creating a format of like interviewing. It's basically like what Diddy did with making the band. I should have called it making her band, because it's basically that whole process of creating
like
a band. And, yeah, and music director, I'm getting into that. That's what I've been doing. Like, all last year, I was just taking gigs that was allowed me to create arrangements and be a music director. And so I'm ready to do that, but also put my whole name on. This would be the first thing that I've done in terms of artistry, of doing shows with headlining my own show. So I'm getting into that space. So it's going to be – I'm really nervous about it, because I feel like this is everything that's happening. I'm like supposed to be doing this, and it's like real nervous, because it's like a really trying process. Like, I don't talk about it, but that shit was like aggravating me all year, because it's mostly trying to get like people involved with this project and having them show up and do what they're supposed to do is hard. And so it was like many a times I've been trying to like quit doing it, because there's people and just certain circumstances that were pissing me off to where I couldn't create the way I wanted to. and it literally took all the energy out of me doing it, and we finally finished it. That was actually a goal I had of 2017 to finish this, because it took me so long to do it, but I'm glad that I had the vision for it. I'm glad it's been done, and yeah, I'm kind of disappointed because I was trying to go back into it, but everything I have going on now, I have to, like, slow up, but I'm happy because it lets me know people really want to see it, so thank y'all for the support and all that stuff, and liking the video, and liking it on YouTube, and on, I think, what else, I got it on Instagram and Twitter, I don't know if I got it on Twitter, but it's on there, so y'all can check it out, Introduction to Savvy Jam, and we should, I think the next video, we should be done editing that soon, so it's going to be a continuous thing. I'm just going to be keep bringing in musicians. I'm like cut and pasting musicians. I'll talk about that more when we get into the topic, but right now we'll get into Ragged People and Savvy News. But yeah, did you see that? Did you see the video? Did you like it? I know I sent you the audio, actually. Did you like that?
You talking to me or EB?
I mean, yeah, so here's the thing. I don't think people, I don't think you would have gotten the response that you're getting, and people would not be singing your praises if you were not actually uber talented. Like, you guys sound amazing. I love the fact that you said that you're trying to get, you know, musical director under your belt. I love that. I think it's time to go get it, and I know you're talented, Q-Lin. Man, like, just like watching it. It's a dope idea. I mean, that's something maybe we need to get Isaac back on. Maybe we need to pitch that to a network.
Right.
That whole documentary process of putting together the band, or like what you call it, making her band.
Well, that's more in line of what it is. It's more of like a Savvy Jam. That's what I want to. I want to pitch it to I'm going to do shows, like live shows. And that's the thing. And it's in the works now. The one venue I have in mind. But yeah, that's pretty much what it is, just to give a concept of what it is.
And it's amazing because I think, and I know you and I both are like music enthusiasts. We love music. And I think one of the things that's missing a lot of the time is that live instrumentation and like people getting together and doing jam sessions. You're bringing all these different musicians together. Everybody's naturally talented. They all have the same love for the music. So it just vibes, and that's what you're doing. I love it.
Yep, me too.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a hard one to do. I'll get into it when we get to it, because sort of that, talking to a few musician friends of mine, we were talking about this a little bit a few days ago, and then a week before, we were just sitting around talking about it. That's why I came up with the topic of the night is, how do you deal with confrontation? But right now we'll get to Ragged People, Savvy. Only Ragged People, like you said, I'm going to classify this as Ragged News. But thank you, Will and EB, for that. Because
okay.
Most musicians, like, we want feedback. I wanted to see, like, if there's, like, anything particular that I need to do better. Sort of that feedback, but most of them just want praise and stuff like that. I don't care about none of that.
Right.
But yeah, thank y'all so much for that. But yeah,
Q-Lin.
Like some musicians that live off that, and I'm like, it's like, if I would have did this 10 years ago, I probably would care more about what people think, if they liked it or didn't like it. But it's like, you know what, we did it, you know, we could polish it a little better, but you know, I just want to put it out there. But yeah, go ahead, what was you about to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, I have to agree with EB a lot, because see, musicians now, a lot of it has gone to the electronics, right? But you don't see many jam sessions where you get musicians, artists get together and just have a real jam session like they used to do back in the day. And
yeah, it's pretty rare.
I enjoyed it. I want to say this to you. I tagged a ton of people and shared it about 3 or 4 times. So that's how much I enjoyed it.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Yeah, man. And it's just getting love from other musicians that, like, tour and stuff. Like, it was Carrie Underwood's drummer like that. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. And then a lot of different musicians that tour all the time hit me up and liked it. And I'm like, that's cool that I get respect from people that actually are in the business and looking at it. I think that's cool. But right now we get to Ragged People, Savvy News before we run out of time. Like I said, I don't want to classify this one as raggedy, but it was like, what I'm talking about, Monique. I put Monique versus Netflix, but Monique versus everybody, because it was
everybody.
Just, like, since we've been gone, it's been, like, so much happening. Like, she's been everywhere talking about this. I appreciate her trying to tell her story, but it was just like,
her telling her story. I think, like I said in the beginning, I felt Netflix was wrong from jump, but at the same time, I feel that sometimes the way Monique chooses to approach certain topics and certain things hurt her more than they help her. I think there was a thing earlier this week with John Murray and pulling receipts, and Will Packer was on Twitter kind of subtweeting Monique a little bit. And then you got, you know, Monique now releasing emails from Netflix showing that they initially were offering her only $500,000. But at the same time, it's like, that's not the complete story. It's hard to get the full story because, of course, Monique's going to say what she's going to say. She's going to say what she has to say. Netflix is not really going to speak on the issue. They're not going to, I don't want to say stoop down to Monique's level, but, you know, they hold all the cards at this point. So why even address the Monique controversy when Monique is doing the work for them? I mean, Monique is in a way, by telling her side of the story, almost diminishing her credibility a little bit, because I don't want Monique, and I feel it's already happened, but I don't want Monique to be branded as the angry black woman, but that's what people have, you know, branded her as right now. She's angry. She's bitter. I don't think she's angry or bitter. I think Monique is not up for industry politics. She's not going to play the game. She's going to say what she means, and she means what she says, and she's going to shoot straight from the hip. But sometimes in the entertainment industry, I think in any industry, that's not always the wisest. I think Monique is playing checkers when she should be playing chess.
Right. Yeah, I agree 100%. I was trying to break it down some more. I'm so glad I held back when we talked about it. I didn't have all the information because I just saw that video you referred to. I listened to it, I think, a day after what she said, mm-hmm. and then she had went on Sway. And then I got Sway. More context. I got way more context in what I was saying. You remember what I was saying about the negotiations? I was wanting her and Sydney to talk about, like, what they did, where they talked about Lee Daniels, like, those details.
Right.
I was wanting more details because I didn't have
right.
opinion because I didn't hear everything. That interview, it gave me everything I needed. And I wasn't trying to nitpick anything she said. I was just taking in what she said. And basically, how I interpret what Monique said about the Netflix deal, she said that they had went to one of them, had one of the executives or whoever that works at Netflix had went to one of her live shows and said she got standing ovation, all that stuff. So basically, they could see that she could sell out a show, because if you can't sell
right.
out, there would be no reason for them to bring her the deal. So they brought her the deal, and what she said was that was their initial offer was $500,000. And so like I said before, I knew she ran in a tight circle, so she basically said it was her husband and lawyer. It seemed like it was mostly
right.
her husband doing the negotiating was like why she getting this amount. And they said they based it off of the anticipation. And she said, well, why did, you know, Amy Schumer and Dave Chappelle and all them get whatever the amount they get? And they said, oh, because of this, and a third. And she's saying they build it off anticipation. And they said, well, why did you give Amy Schumer $2 million or whatever? And they said, oh, because she sold out Madison Square Garden twice, and she had the hit movie that came after that. And she's like, well, why is that not the resume? They don't go off a resume. If you don't go off a resume, then why are you bringing up Amy Schumer's resume? And so they said her emphasis is on the legend part. They're saying if you're saying I'm a legend, then why are you not paying me what the legends are getting? And so she basically
right.
wants what they got, $20 million. And I'm like, she says when Angela Yee, I heard another interview said, no, it wasn't an interview. It was just them talking about it, Breakfast Club, in their segment, something they said. And I think Angelia said something about that. Like I said, to get her like 2 million, 2, 7 million, like in that range. You know what I mean? And it was other people I said, like, take the 500,000 and then negotiate for a million. That's what I was thinking too. But she's saying that's an insult. To her, that's an insult to say that I'm only worth 2 to 7 million. And then other people, she addressed it on her show with her husband that somebody asked her, like, if they would have started with, like, 3 million or 7 million, whatever that number, would you still take it? And then she was basically like, nah. But I'm like, I had to really think about, like, the whole situation. I had to be honest. Like, most of this seems like ego to me, because to me, the reason why Dave Chappelle, you say he gets that, but you know that he puts work in. Like, he didn't just, like, he was under the radar for a minute, but he was, like, doing shows, like, doing small shows, doing small clubs, doing comedy shows, doing, like, those small clubs, like, in New York. And then, you know, doing, started out, all of them, Chris Rock and them, started packaging. You know, they work out, most comedians work out their material and build upon that. And so before they do, like, big tours. And so Chris Rock just had a big tour last year. And then I know for sure Dave did two big tours. He did, because I went to one of them at the Criterion in Oklahoma City. He did that, like, I think 2 years ago, a year or two ago. That was a big tour. The one with his first Netflix special, I went to it. And they were like, that's a big arena. Like, that's not small. Like, at least 9,000, that one feels like, that one was sold out. It, like, had 9,000 people. And so, if you, I'm going to do the math for some of y'all, because I know some of y'all ain't in the comedy world. I get what Monique's saying, but I'm going to break it down a little bit more before we move on. Hold on a second. Let me pull this up real quick. Okay. You do a 9,000, one that, say, not saying that's all he does, because he does theaters and arenas, but say he does a 9,000 tour and his ticket is $45, $50. I know Monique does $45 tickets. So say she's doing a venue that has 9,000 people in it. They're sold out. 9,000 times 45. That's 405,000 from that tour. If she does that, if she books that show, a 9,000, one that seats 9,000 people, that's, she's making in from the ticket sales alone is $405,000. That's just to give you how much they make. Now, add on to how many cities she does, add that on to how many cities she does. 12, if that's how many, Dave Chappelle, just say, just throw that number out there, 405,000 times 12, if she does 12 cities, that's 4.8 million. So if she's doing shows like that, you can get why that number is. But if she's doing like the 300, one that sells out 300, and the tickets is like maybe $20, 15 maybe, 25, I'm going to go 25. 7,000, she does seven, sells out, like does like 20 shows, that's about 150,000. And so that's what I'm thinking. From what the analytics showed, that 500,000 was, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how much they would think her doing a tour for Netflix, that's how much I guess they guesstimated. I don't know. But
right, I mean,
what I'm saying, right, but my whole thing with that is that the reason why Dave Chappelle got what he got is because he's doing tours. I don't know if Monique is doing tours like that. Like, now, she actually did an idea to where she had an idea for a tour, and she added on people, whether or not if she's headlining it and get maybe one or two people that opened up that could make those sales of those tickets to get people to come in to where she could sell out a theater or arena tour, then you can talk about millions. But she just wants that off the credibility of her resume, and that's not how they're doing it. But at the same time, I'll still say she's right in the fact that Netflix is lowballing her. I'll say that they are,
yeah,
because they could at least offered her, I said, 1.5 million and get the 500,000 and then negotiate for that if if the Netflix special does well, then add on and negotiate from there. But from what I heard from the interview, it made it seem like he was trying to basically threaten them, because he said, what if we made this public? Because she had mentioned that he said that Sydney said that, what if you're going to go with the $500,000, then we're going to make this public, that this is what y'all saying, and you don't want us to do that. And I'm like, you don't do stuff like that. You can't go into a negotiating room and making demands like that. That sounds crazy. That's where it lost me. I'm like, oh, this is all ego. Because you don't want to, she basically wants to reap the $20 million without, like, the numbers have to make sense. Like, if the people that showing up to your shows, if that's not matching that, if you're not doing this many numbers at your tour, you're not going to get that amount of money. And I'm saying, to me, the deal seemed easy to me. Because people would be watching it, because if she's talking about, like, Lee Daniels, Oprah Winfrey, all that stuff is going to be in a special, of course people are going to tune into it. But I'm just saying, negotiate, like, make this deal and negotiate more if it does well. That's what I thought, but go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think I agree with you. I think the major problem, which is a problem I think that people are not really looking at, the difference between people like Monique and then the Amy Schumers, the Dave Chappelles, the Chris Rocks, who have these Netflix specials, are their audiences. Monique absolutely tours and hustles just as hard, and sometimes maybe more than the Chris Rocks, the Amy Schumers, and the Dave Chappelles. But who is going to Monique shows versus who's going to the Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, Amy Schumer shows? Monique has a core black audience. The majority of her audience is black. The others,
right,
don't have that. They have that quote-unquote crossover appeal, that crossover audience. And I think that is what puts Monique in the position that she's in, like you said, because Netflix is looking at it, well, what will be the return on this investment? If we pay you this much, how much do we stand to make from your special? Who is actually going to your shows? Who will tune into your shows? And, I mean, I think that's like a harsh reality of it. If you look at all of Netflix, anyone who has lucrative deals with them, they have that same crossover audience. They have that same crossover appeal. Chris Rock right now is in, like, London or South Africa. I follow him on Instagram. It's either London or South Africa or something. He's on tour right now. Of course, Dave Chappelle has been
right, everywhere.
Amy Schumer is everywhere, whether we want her to be or not. But
right, I was going to say, don't make it seem like, listening, don't make it seem like I'm capable for that. I already told y'all, that bitch is a joke thief, so I ain't capable for Amy Schumer at all. I'm just saying the numbers. Right.
We're not doing that. But I think a lot of the difference is with black comedians who don't have that crossover appeal, and then with black comedians and or white comedians who do have those audiences who are majority white, is if Monique was to go on tour right now, for it to be as successful as one of the other people mentioned, she would have to do like a joint tour, put together like a Queens of Comedy thing where they all went on tour, where she's not going to stand to make as much because, you know, you're splitting the money, but that's the only way that she's going to get to that level. When have you ever
She could do her. Well, I mean, she could do her own tour, but it would take like a lot of work. I don't think she's ready to. I feel like she feels like she's established enough to where she ain't got to do that. And I'm like, that's not.
Because she's been in the business for so long, but at the same time, look at who her manager is. I mean, Monique is making herself look bad. Her manager is her husband, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Personally, I do think there's something wrong with it. But, hey, if you want your manager to be your husband, do what you do. But
I just don't think
going on Instagram and Periscope and addressing stuff, you calling the man daddy, saying that he's raised you, that's not a professional business. That's a personal business, and I think that's what's messing her up. And I rock with Monique. I'm behind her. I love Monique. I think she's hilarious. I think she's a great person. Monique does so much for the LGBT community. It's crazy, like stuff that people don't even know. But at the same time, I want Monique to get out of her own way. I'm not saying she has to kiss anybody's ass in Hollywood or suck up to anybody, because as of now,
She has a bad reputation. Everybody says the same thing. She's hard to work with. And it's not necessarily that she's hard to work with, but it's hard to deal with her management, which is her husband. Will Packer told the story in an email about how, you know, he loved working with Monique. He thought she was great. He was honored to have her work with him on Almost Christmas. But the demands from her husband, the way that she and her husband treated his staff or the people working on the movie, he said it was almost too much. It's like it's more trouble than it's worth. You're getting this amazing talent, but is it worth it? And I think that's where Monique has to kind of realize that you want your own way at this point. Like, what you should have done, as I've been saying from the beginning, Netflix tried to lowball you. Cool. What did Wanda Sykes do? She went to another network. She went to Plex. Monique could have went to Amazon Prime, Hulu. She could have started something. Made a better deal with them. Right.
She had pulled it up. She said she should have made a better deal with another network.
And then, after proving that herself, either choose to work with Netflix, but then, you know, have better grounds to negotiate a different deal, or tell Netflix to kiss your ass. You get more money over here. Make them regret not going into business with you. But she didn't do any of that.
Yeah, because I'm like, with Wanda Sykes' tweet, it said, at Mo Worldwide, thank you for speaking out. At Netflix offered me less than half a year, $500,000 at $250,000. I was offended, but found another home. Hashtag Epic Sykes, Epic EPIX.
Yeah.
And also Jada Pinkett had, I think the basis of what Monique's saying is true, that they do lowball black female comedians, absolutely.
Right.
But she has a strange way of like tying it together with
exactly,
the whole boycott
thing,
and it makes it strange. It's a little strange. It's like I can get with it, but it's like it's not really boycotting Netflix. It's just mostly trying to figure out a way to I don't look at it. It feel like you trying to fight a whole system that could be impossible. Like, I feel like it's at an age now to where I felt like everything that she's doing, she could have easily got in there to be like negotiate. I don't feel like, like I said before, like, I feel like she's like an all or nothing type of person, and I'm not 100% with that mind state, because I'm like, that's limiting opportunities, and I don't feel like that's selling out or selling a piece of yourself to try to negotiate another way. Because I feel like if that was all they offered, a $500,000, I feel like if you would have pulled the other angle of, okay, if we do this, then this is how much money. Like, it was some way to where he could have negotiated, okay, let us do $1.5 million, and then if the numbers do well, then add like $7 million or $10 million on there. Like, if it does well. Like, it was some way you could have negotiated, but she's saying that they just said $500,000. But I'm like, y'all could have, but the way they countered, my issue is with how they countered the negotiation when they said, when they brought up other people's money, like, adding that into the equation is not a good negotiating point, because you're basically trying to highlight somebody else's figure. And if you would have just stuck with the business of negotiating for yourself, your husband should have been negotiating, okay, if we sell out this many tickets for this, if we do this much, you give us $1.5 million, $2 million, whatever the start is, add it on to the $500,000 and, like, get a bonus if it does well. Like, I'm saying, like, I don't think they did that. I think that what they said, that's what they did. Like, why did they get that much and why do we get this? I don't think that's a good negotiation. Like, I would never went in there, like, talking about somebody else's money.
I don't think it was necessarily a bad thing to do that, but I think that the way they did it was probably wrong, and that's why stuff played out the way it is. I think what should have been done, or what could have been done, is when they received such a low offer, to counter with, okay, but this is my resume, and this is the resume of who you paid more money to. Please explain to me why my offer is so low versus theirs. Now then, at that point, when they come back with the BS of they don't go by resumes,
then, like, do what Wanda Sykes did. Take it to another network. Take it to another streaming service. But what Monique did was take to her Instagram Live and ask people to boycott Netflix. And then not only did she do that, that's when I think she crossed the line a little bit, is she threw in the other people's salaries on her Instagram Live saying they made this much, they made this much, they made this much. So I asked them why. I mean, who's going to want to work with you if they know anytime things don't go your way, you're going to take to Instagram, a Periscope, or whatever to say boycott this company, don't work with these people. Nobody's going to want to work with you then.
I agree with that, take it somewhere else. But I'm saying if those other options, I didn't feel like it was necessary. Because that's when you pigeonhole it. What I'm saying is when you pigeonhole it like that, when she said they asked Netflix, the people at Netflix, why did they get this much, I'm saying that wasn't even important. If you asked that, then your follow-up question should have been different. Not you counter with, oh, we demand y'all, like, give us the answer or
right.
we're going to go public
right.
with that. To me, that didn't make
right.
any sense. And I'm saying that they would have got off a lot better if they wasn't so gung-ho of, like, either we get this or we walking away. And they said that they wasn't open to negotiation, but I'm saying the way y'all led with the questioning was not, I don't think, to me, it wasn't the right way to go at all. Like, they shouldn't even mention that. Like, if your point is a negotiation, her manager should know the numbers of, like, what her tours is. We know for sure you sell out shows, but if your manager is good enough, he should know those numbers to whatever tour that she's doing. If you get the anticipation started, say, hey, we're going to do this mini city tour. And what she could have did, because somebody else brought up the good marketing behind, a good manager would have had already packaged one, because Joe Coy actually did that. He produced
right.
his own comedy special, and he made millions off of that for Netflix, because that cut down on the expenses of them paying,
exactly.
you know, to have their production crew to be there. That's what I'm saying. There's many ways that they could have been there. I'm saying that she feels as though she's a legend and that she don't have to do that. But I'm like, Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle do that all the time. Like, they're constantly working. I'm pretty sure that agents and the people that got this involved, it was all centered around a tour. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they did bring it to her. But I'm saying that if her manager was doing what he was supposed to do, he could have negotiated it a whole lot better. It could have been like 4 to 5 different ways, like you said, with going somewhere else and making more money. But I'm just saying with Netflix, since that's the most popular one, and we know it's they lowballed her because Wanda Sykes said that, and we said before
right,
that
right.
she has a crossover audience. What I'm saying
right.
is that she doesn't, her whole focus is on her being a legend, and that if I'm a legend, then I should get paid what the legends are. I get that 100%. But with them being legends, they're actually torn. Like, they're showing the reason why they're getting paid that much. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like they did maybe one small comedy club show. Like, they were getting paid, like, a lot of money for those shows and selling them out, like, really anticipated tours. And I don't know the last, like, major tour Monique's been on since the Queens of Comedy, where she's headlining.
I mean, it was the Queens of Comedy. And I think Monique thinks that because she's an Oscar winner, then that means that she should get paid more. She's automatically legend status. But,
yeah, and I was, yeah.
But Oscar in a drama, like, it wasn't a comedy. Like, she's not, her last few roles have been dramas. The only thing Monique has been doing, well, that we've seen as far as comedy, she's been touring. And even her tours, they haven't been huge national tours. So I think, like you said, I think there were so many ways to do it. Unfortunately, she chose the wrong way. I think a lot of it has to do with not only ego and attitude, but management. I think that maybe
100%.
Getting
yeah, right.
And a management company, because when you look at the way things are going, her career could be going so differently right now. And then somebody else brought it. It was like, I mean, even if Netflix went and looked at her Instagram, it's nothing but workout videos. Like, she's working out all day. Maybe she should have pitched a workout special.
I don't know. But right. I think for her to come at Netflix publicly like she did was the wrong move to make, because she doesn't have the backing. And her, I mean, you're getting on Periscope and Instagram calling your manager daddy, telling people he raised you. Who's going to take you seriously? It's hard to take somebody seriously like that.
Man, I'm 100. Listen, y'all know I call a thing, right? Right?
Yeah.
Y'all know when that whole thing with Lee Daniels and all that, I was riding with her on that, with the whole Kim Whitley situation. I was riding with her on that because she's 100% right. This one,
same.
I'm for with the whole the equal pay with female comedians, because that absolutely, not just female, but black female comedians never get what they deserve. But what I'm saying is that the way she's tying it in together, if she feels that's necessary for her, but I don't think in the overall scheme of things, if we look at it, because I'm looking at it from the comedy, because y'all know I have a real love for comedians, because I know about, you know, the background and all the stuff they have to get through to get paid and all that stuff, because it's still similar to a musician. But at the same time, you got to look at the numbers here, and the way she's so fixated on that, and it was one when Tony Rock, they had TMZ asked Tony Rock about it, and he had said the same thing I said about, like, you don't be mentioning other people's money, and then also he was mentioning that they had did tours and stuff, and that's how they got their money. Like, you gotta, you know, he was like, what's the last thing she did? And he was basically saying the same thing, but whenever I heard their response to that, they never addressed what he said about touring, about the reason why they're making that much for touring. They completely negated that. They were stuck on, his interpretation was that he was defending his brother because they had mentioned how much he made. And I'm like, he wasn't coming from that perspective to me. He was saying that, yes, you're a great comedian, but you're not doing shows like that. Like, he's like, when's the last show, like, big tour that you've done to where you can accommodate for making this much money, is basically the premise of what he's saying. And I'm like, that's 100% true. But when they negated that part of what he said, I'm like, all right, now that's what it is. That's why I said it's ego, because when he said that, I'm like, that's completely ego. They don't want to have to do this many cities to prove, I mean, they're going to be torn regardless, but in terms of coming up with a concept like the way Dave Chappelle and them did for a tour, to like go around campaigning for that, because they got to promote it, you know, to promote it on Netflix. They got to do the whole talk shows and go on different radio shows to promote it. And I don't think that they want to come up. They just want the aftermath, the money, because of the legendary status. That's what I feel. But man, we've been talking all day on that. Doggone it. We almost ran out of time talking about this. Savvy News. We don't ever get to it. Birthday appreciation, shout outs to Quincy Jones, the legend. He had a GQ article. Man, that thing was like long like a book. I know they doing a mini mini series. I don't know if it's a docu series.
Donald Glover.
Right. Yes. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know if they go, I hope you tell the real stories, but that article, you said you didn't see it.
I didn't read the whole article yet. I only saw like certain quotes.
It was real good. He was talking about his upbringing. He was like talking about growing up south side of Chicago. It was like the way he had wrote it. It seemed like a conversation, like you have a conversation, and then he started bringing up stories of like Frank Sinatra and what else, talking about getting stabbed in his hand and stuff, and being on the street and having his mom, like, he was so poor, like, his mama was like, would cook rats, or his grandmother, I think, was cooking rats and chopped the tails off, saying that they would just catch them, and his mom would like chop it up and make it like it was chicken so they could eat for that. I was like, damn, that's crazy. And he's telling stories like that. He's talking about who he's worked with. He's like, man, I was trying to do my Quincy Jones impression. It's pretty good, but I don't feel like doing it. My head hurt. But it was pretty good. It was like reading like a book. I'm like, damn, I didn't want this article to end. It was reading like a book. I know it was controversy with what he said. He had said one thing. I hate when news anchors and people that on these talk shows like take one thing, because it was so long and they took the most irrelevant thing. As soon as I read that, I'm like, oh, they're going to make this a headline. He was basically, while talking to, he had controversy because he said somebody, the interviewer had asked him, he said he had 22 girlfriends, and he said he had, like, all over in China, Japan, all different places. He had girlfriends everywhere. They all knew about each other and all that stuff. And he, and basically, he's asking, he's like, the interview's asking him, like, what kind of girl he likes or whatever. And then he said, oh, he's like, he got a detector for, like, fat people and ugly people or something. The way I was reading it, it was funny. Like, I was just reading it like a conversation, but people just took that and was like, oh, man, he bashing. I'm like, it was, like, the most irrelevant thing from that that y'all took from that. Like, he's talking about getting stabbed in his hand, talking about having to eat rats for dinner. And y'all take that one headline of him talking about the kind of women he likes. And it was some other one talking about he has some technology of, that's what it was. It was technology that reads if he has, if fat women or whatever that come through his house or whatever. And then he said something about technology he has to where he can live to be 120. I'm like, damn. He said, I thought that was wild. I was like, he wants to live to be 100 and, I think it's 120. I don't know if it's 120 or 130, but that's what he said. But yeah, wow. Quincy Jones can't do no bad in my eyes. So when the people was trying to make that a thing, I was like, whatever. I was like, y'all just took that one quote and just ran with it. I'm like, that article is so long. But yeah, shout out to Quincy Jones. Icon. Who else had birthdays? Jennifer Lewis had birthday. Anita Baker had birthday. Rick James. Shout out to Rick James. Rick James' birthday was yesterday. Rest on him. Who else had birthdays? I'm trying to think. But we'll move on to the talk, to the TV shows.
I don't remember nobody else.
Trying to think. Was it Tom from... almost choked. Trying to think of somebody else. I can't think. I think that's all the birthdays. But yeah, shout out to all the musicians and singers that had birthdays, producers that had birthdays. I was trying to think of some more. I can't. I think that's it. I think I named everybody. Oh, Tom Bell from Philly Producer.
Oh, yeah. Tom Bell, my bad.
There was somebody else, but I forgot.
Man,
yeah.
He wrote, like, stylistics, hits, and everything.
Yes. Shout out to them. Great legends. TV shows, real quickly, The Shy, they got picked up for a second season.
Yeah, great show.
REF, the four shows. Great show I forgot what channel it's on. It's on Showtime. That's what it is. Showtime. I almost said HBO. It comes on Showtime every Sunday. I forgot the time for it. I think it comes on like at 9 or something or 10. But, yeah, it's a great show. Picked up second season. I'm mad they're on hiatus for like 2 weeks. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, get me all riled up in it. Y'all acting like the cable network that
right.
TV shows that be being on break for like a month and stuff. I'm like, y'all hurry up and come back. But yeah, it's a great show. Produced, I think, written by Lena Wei.
Yep.
I hope I'm pronouncing her last name right.
Yeah, I think
I always get it wrong.
And Common.
He has a little role in there. He's like
executive
a
executive producer. Yeah.
Yeah. A little, I think he's like a Muslim teacher. I don't know.
He's
in one episode when that dude got stabbed. Spoiler alert, somebody gets stabbed in there. I don't know if y'all know that. But somebody got stabbed anywhere in there.
I know that.
Right. Right. And Black Lightning, I think they got picked up for, no, I'm not sure. But they got high ratings, I know that. But
good.
It's a great show.
An amazing show.
It's a great show. I watched, what was it? Tuesday, was it come on Wednesday? I get my days mixed up.
On
I watched it when it came on. It was pretty good. Jill Scott's in there. She plays a villain in that show.
Yeah.
She had her first premiere appearance on that show the other night. She plays I think she's like the head villain. That guy, the albino thug, works for her. I think.
Yeah.
Can't remember. But yeah, what else? Yeah, shout out to them. Also, shout out to Tiffany Haddish. I know Super Bowl. I haven't been watching. This kind of segues well to this article I read. But yeah, Tiffany Haddish has a Super Bowl commercial Groupon. That story, remember we talked about that? She's telling a story when they were doing girls' trip And they had downtime talking about taking Will and Jada to a Groupon swap tour in Louisiana, a swap tour. And she took them to it, and they saw that, and we gave her, she's a, endorser for Groupon. So they showed maybe, I think, one commercial on TV is circulating now, but I think she has a extended one that comes on during Super Bowl. They're going to premiere it, so. Shouts to her, and also she's going to be starring in a TV series from Jordan Peele, is doing a TV series with Tracy Morgan and Tiffany Haddish. So that's a good look for them. Congrats to them for getting their own show. And I'm trying to think of something else that happened in the news before. We ain't got enough time to talk about the topic. I think I might just ask. We have I'll ask that. I'm all over the place. I'm trying to make sure I look over everything in my notes. I think I went over everything. What else is going on in Savvy News? Do you have anything else?
Oh, y'all know I got to mention my girl every show. Mary J. Blige, double Oscar nomination.
Yeah.
First person to ever be nominated for the same film in the same year. So it's amazing.
Yes, and she might pull away with one. That's crazy. I feel like she might win. That was a pretty good movie. I watched it.
Yeah.
It was really intriguing. I think it's enough for her to win because it wasn't so – I like the ending. I think the ending saved it because, you know, having heroes. I think it – maybe they won't because they – yeah.
The movie is great, and I love – somebody actually dug up an old interview of Mary back in, like, 96, 97. I think it was on, remember Vibe used to have a TV show, I forget what the name of the show was, but they were asking her would she ever like to get into acting, and she said, yeah, if the right role came along, and she would want it to be something relevant to the time that made people think, something that people needed to see, and I really think Mudbound was that. Like, she said this 20 years ago, and here she is in this role. I hope she wins something for it. I mean, she's already been winning awards everywhere for it, so I hope that she definitely takes home an Oscar for one,
right,
if not both, of what she's nominated for.
Yeah, congrats to Mary for upgrading. Like I said, when you get rid of the trash, the upgrading is phenomenal. For real. What else? Oh, we got some more. Let's see. Let's talk about the Roots Grammy Jam session. What? Like, I was already mad. Oh, Nam, I was going to talk about Nam a little bit. It's like a organization for musicians. It's basically like the Grammys for musicians. It's sort of like a big thing for musicians. It's like where they showcase, like, products, like, different, like, from, like, Vic Firth. It's, like, all different kind of different technology with music and stuff. I heard a lot of people that was out there. Boosie Collins was out there. I was supposed to go to that, but I got sick, so, and all these different medical problems I got, so I didn't get a chance to go. And I was so mad. I wasn't that mad because most of my favorite musicians was on the East Coast for the Grammys. Some of them worked for the people nominated that were performing, like Childish Gambino and all them. They were doing that, so most of them didn't. They were on the East Coast. They wasn't on, think Nam is in Anaheim, California. That's usually where it's at. It's like an annual thing. I forgot how many years it's in, but shout out to people that was at NAMM. I think Taylor was there. Lee, they've been on the show. They were all out there.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the Instagram. I was trying to stay off Instagram because and Brian Morgan was there. One of my favorite producers of all time was out there. Flavor Flav was out there. He's playing the piano. I saw somebody post a video. I knew he had played because he was playing, watching that show, Flavor Love. He was, like, playing on there, so I knew he could play. He played music on Public Enemy Records, too. He plays multiple instruments, too, I think. But, yeah, shout out to people that went to NAMM. And the Roots Grammy Jam, like, they were bringing out everybody. Like, they were bringing out Roxanne Shanté and Khalil Kweli Common and Lisa Fisher. And who else did they bring out? Bilal, and it was... I was like, God damn. I was like, Roots Jam was better than the Grammys. That's what it sounds like. And people was actually posting, like, the whole, I think, oh, yeah, PJ Morton performed, too, on there. They was jamming on there. Yeah, shout out to people that I got to go to. If they have the Grammys in New York, I'm definitely going next year. Because I know he's going to do an annual Roots Grammy Jam, and I'm going to that. Somebody got to hook me up with a ticket, because I know it's invitation only. Somebody got to hook me up with one of them things next year. If they go to New York and the Grammys, F the show. I want to go to the Roots Grammy Jam, because that shit looked popping. I was like, yeah, Lisa Fisher there. I was so excited looking at that on Instagram. Speaking of Instagram, shout out to Will Smith's Instagram. That's savvy news. Yo, do you follow him on there?
No, I don't follow him.
Man, you need to. It's amazing. And people who keep tweeting, I see on there, they say, man, Will Smith's Instagram is like the best thing that happened on the internet. And it is. Like, his Instagram is dope. And he has a new YouTube channel. Like, he blogs and stuff. Like, it's like you got taken all the richness of him, like, being in Russia. I mean, not Russia, but in, I think he was in China or somewhere promoting the, what's that movie that was on Netflix? His Netflix movie. He had finished the last leg of his tour for that Netflix show. I mean, movie. What's it called? I forgot. Not the name of the movie. We go with that because I have no idea. I fact checked something. I forgot, but he was blogging, doing overseas, and then he came back. His Instagram is popping. It is dope. I like it. It's like inspirational. He's saying like he be dropping some real gems on there. It's real good. You check it out. Will Smith, and I think he's one of the ones that I'll be like, yo, he can't do no, like, I don't like try to like idolize him, but it's like, he seems like a good person, like a genuinely nice person. And he has, like, he's, like, so in-depth with, like, it'd be, like, the way he says stuff is, like, so in-depth. He seems, like, very intellectual. I, like, yeah, he's definitely he has a great Instagram. I'm trying to think of something else before we go. We ran out of time. I'm trying to think of something else.
You ran out of time a long time ago.
No, we didn't. We started on time, but we got some wrapped up talking about Monique, man. I was like, there's so many ways to go after that conversation. Done now. I think that's it.
Yeah, but you. Yeah.
I mean, of course, Supreme. I got to catch up on that. He just dropped one with, I forgot the, it's one. I need to catch up on that because he had a great producer that he just interviewed. I got to check that out. But yeah, y'all listen to Soul Savage Radio Show. I want to ask y'all something real quick before we go. Because I was having a conversation. I was going to make it a topic, but we didn't run out of time. But how do y'all deal with, like, confrontation in terms of, like, say, for instance, like, somebody, you're supposed to do something with somebody, like a project or something. Like, you don't, like, pay them, but, like, they don't show up and do stuff the way they're supposed to. And you keep, like, you trying to make them involved, but they don't want to be involved. And then when you finally get them involved, it's not that great, and they're still, like, costing you money. Do you feel it's necessary to reach out to them and say, hey, or just ignore it? Like,
is that a question? Is that a damn question? No.
I'm just saying, no, because I was having a conversation about this, and they think that you should, the way they were saying me, they said I should tell the person. I'm like, why should I tell them? I'm like,
no.
If I don't. Unless they, like, bring it up. No? What you think, EB?
Yeah, I'm not a person to hit nobody up. Stuff like that.
Yeah,
I'm like, that's... I mean, they were saying because because you know the person. I'm like, that don't mean nothing to me. If we were supposed to make money together and you didn't show up and you wasn't consistent with how we supposed to do it, I don't feel it's necessary for me to tell you, hey, you didn't get the job. That's what I feel like.
Right.
I don't feel like it's necessary for me to tell you that. So y'all wouldn't do that? Y'all don't think that's a confrontation?
Mm-mm.
I don't think that's a confrontation.
Mm-mm.
I don't think Mm-mm. that's a necessary confrontation path.
Really? Hey, Killian, can I ask you a real question, quick question on that?
Oh, go ahead.
Please. Okay. I ran into the situation when we first started this station about, you know, a year and a half before I met you, and gave a ton of people opportunities, hosts, technicians, engineers, I mean, just the whole gamut, right? And I had to fire all of them at, out of about 12, 13 people. I had to fire all of them. I think it was more than that, and kept one. And that is Arthur Shaw Jr. He does his show like the, smooth jazz, on Thursday nights, Mr. Melody, in his show, right? But anyway, no, you don't owe them anything, because if you're, giving someone an opportunity and you support, and you have a commitment, and know how you are about time too, people not showing up on time and things like that. And then what's worse than that is people not showing up at all and not even, giving you a call or returning calls and things of that nature. Nope. No.
So you don't think that should change if you're friends with them, or just
fire
your close contact with them?
Fire them. Okay. I don't care if it's your brother.
That's what I'm saying, because people,
no,
it mostly, it was a conversation started because it was mostly like,
no,
when you're in that circle with musicians, like we were talking about it, and it was somebody that wasn't a part of this, like the industry, and they didn't get like how, like we could like be like, I'm like, it's not personal. It's just business. It's like, you're actually costing me money when you don't show up.
It's business and personal.
And I don't have to emphasize, like, just because I run it don't mean I have to emphasize like this. And I feel like people want you to give them, like give them passes because you know them.
Right.
And they don't want you to treat them like an employee. I'm like, and that's why I can get the concept of, like, corporations, why they hire so many, and they don't care if somebody quit, because they got the money to front for that. You know what I'm saying? And so that I can get how corporations run it to where they can, like, they can hire somebody on the spot and do all that stuff because they got the money to do that. I don't got the money to do that. So you basically slowing up the process. That's what that whole thing, I'll put it out there. Like, it's people, some people ain't going to be a part of the project, and just for that reason. And that's the frustrating process, is that me confront, I don't feel like it's necessary for me to tell you to be on time. Like, I don't feel like that's necessary for me to tell you that. And you should already know that. And I'm just taking mental notes. And then when people tell me, oh, I got something else better to do besides that, somebody actually told me that when they flaked on me. Like, it's multiple people. It ain't just, like, one person. It's multiple people told me that. And then they still want to be a part of the project. And people, when I said that to a person, they was like, oh, you should give, what? I was like, and then it made sense, because I'm like, oh, you ain't in this business, so you don't get it. I'm like, yo, I ain't got time to be wasting ideas with people that don't want to create with me. If you don't want to do it, just say that. Don't wait till, you know, days before or the day of to tell me you ain't coming. Especially when the hard work is already done. You know, the budget, everything was made for it, and then you don't show up. Oh.
Let me ask you a question.
That gets me hot.
I got another question. Got another question real quick. I know we're going way over, but anyway, why is this about?
I just wanted your opinion on that. We about to end.
Yeah, I know. I've got to ask this last question. And I see this in musicians, and especially I've seen it where, the piano player or the drummer or this player didn't even show up. I've been in
situations. It happens all the time.
I don't understand that. I know it happens in real life. But when you have something like that, where you have an audience coming in and people are counting on you to do that and you don't even show up,
most of the time with that, it's mostly a backing musician. Most times like that, they're not necessarily the main traction for that show. And so if they're not getting paid whatever the amount the person that name is on that ticket, they don't feel that. Most of the time, they'll try to send somebody in their place, or they just won't show up at all. Most of the time, it's just like, it depends on what it is. Cause sometimes they do that, and if they were supposed to show up for an open mic or something like that, they won't show up, which ain't a big deal, cause it's just open mic, they ain't gonna pay for that. But most of the time, it's just like shows they were supposed to showcase something, they won't show up. If it's something they don't feel important, and that's mostly ones that ain't, like, getting regularly paid. And that's why they don't get paid, because they don't show up. Like I said, like, that's how I got started. Like, I was a backing musician. When I started, that basically means that you play for whoever. Whoever assembled the band, or if somebody say, hey, I need a drummer or I need a piano player, I would show up, because most of the time it was somebody that was supposed to play there. They wasn't there for whatever reason. And that's how they do. And most of the time it's just ones that can't consistently get a check, they'll do that. And that's why they don't get checks, because they're not consistent. And I've been at this point to where we at the end of the show now. I'm just sitting here just trying to get perspective on stuff. Yeah, that's the position I'm in now, like, where I don't want to be in that position to be like that, but I'm definitely not going to bring a confrontation to somebody. I'm not that kind of person in any aspect to where if you got an issue with me, just say it. Like, I'm not one of the ones. I don't like what becomes an issue with me is when people be passive aggressive about confrontation. Like, they got an issue with you, but you got to, like, pull it out of them for, like, the slick shit they say to you. You know what I mean? And we can get it. We actually do a part two to that next week, because I got some more into that more into, like, relationships and friendships and confrontations like that. But we at the end of the show. Thank you for tuning in to Soul Savage Radio. We had an amazing interview at the top of the show with producer, filmmaker Isaac Taylor. Make sure y'all tune in to Unsung. It comes off Unsung Season 11 premieres February 18th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure y'all check that out on TV One. Make sure y'all tune in next week. We'll be back every Friday, 5 to 7 Pacific Time. My Savvy Heathen Talk is... Damn. I'm gonna have to come back around. EB, you got any Savvy Heathen Talk?
No, I don't have one this week.
You don't? I'm trying to think of one. Oh yeah. Oh, these organic snacks I'm eating on is lit. That's my Savvy Heathen Talk. Take care of yourselves, people.
Okay. Well, anyway, thank you so
Take
much for the Soul Savvy
That's
Show.
My Savvy Heathen Talk.
And my Savvy Heathen Talk is there are aliens in the White House. So, but anyway, folks, hey, stay tuned to Studio W the Buzz. Hey, you know, QLM, we'd be remiss if we didn't do this. Tomorrow, please tune in to Studio W the Buzz, okay? We'll start off, and some of you may need this, and I'm not, no value judgment. The prayer line starts at 8 o'clock with Anthony King at 8 o'clock. That's 10 o'clock Central Time, 11 o'clock on the East Coast, and then Ann Wooten Taylor. And Wooten Taylor with the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministry show. What a phenomenal, phenomenal show that is. That's 9 a.m. And all of these shows are on the West Coast in time, right? And then 10 o'clock, we have The Connection. Coach's Corner with Ray Booker. Hey, life changes, and he talks about that. And also, The Connection at 11 o'clock, the only police show in America that we know about. Okay? Tune into The Buzz 5:30. We have the sports page. And then, VT, Vocal Tips. I know, QLN, you've listened to Vocal Tips with Dansby Sturdivant. Tomorrow is Lesson 3, where he teaches you how to sing right here on The Buzz. You know, so that's a really, really great show. And you'll see that on YouTube here shortly, too. EB and Q Lynn, thank you so much for another phenomenal show. And guess what? We're going to end this. Q Lynn, you asked for this. Bootsy, I'd rather be with you. This has been the Soul Savage Show here on Studio W the Buzz.
We out, y'all.
Good night, everyone.
I want to hold your hand, oh, if I can, just be a man. I want to be your friend, not now and then, but until the end. I just love the way you act, and that's a fact. I want to be your number one, so get to that.
Side behind my back, baby.